Hi, this is Dan Steele with your WASA legislative report for Monday, March 6th. Week 9 of this 2023 legislative session brings another major milestone. All bills from their House of Origin must be adopted by 5 p.m. Wednesday, March 8th, to remain alive. Starting Thursday, legislative committees will resume meeting, this time hearing and acting on opposite House bills. While this action occurs, budget development will continue behind the scenes, with proposal releases imminent. On Monday, March 20th, the Economic and Revenue Forecast Council will provide an updated revenue forecast, and shortly after, we expect to see legislative budget proposals. While most of the budget work is being done undercover, we continue to see signals indicating where the legislature may be heading. A major example is the recent action on special education legislation. We've been hearing the House Democrats were likely to be appropriating about $400 million for special education for the 2023-25 biennium through the four-year outlook to 2025-27. The House moved their House Bill 1436 last Thursday. As adopted, it would provide $168 million in 2023-25 and $242 million in 2025-27, for a total of $411 million over 4 years. Before the House adopted House Bill 1436, there was a spirited debate on a Republican-sponsored striking amendment. In short, the amendment was a melding of the Senate's Senate Bill 5311 and the House's House Bill 1436. Proposed multiplier increases would match the Senate proposal, and lifting the enrollment funding cap to 15% as proposed by the Senate were included in the striker. Requiring the contracting of independent special ed advocates, again proposed by the Senate, was another provision of the striking amendment. The remaining pieces of the striking amendment were proposals included in House Bill 1436. Specifically, number one, a reduction in the special education safety net threshold from 2.3 to 2.2 times the average per pupil expenditure, or APPE. 2. Accountability language requiring OSPI to divert up to 50% of a district's general apportionment to special education if special education expenditures exceeded state funding. 3. OSPI's required review of disproportionality and support for inclusionary teaching practices. And 4. A required performance audit of special education conducted by the Joint Legislative Audit and Review Committee. The striking amendment failed, of course, but the debate was fascinating. More so, it was disheartening and disappointing. In arguing against the striking amendment, House Democrats essentially admitted special education is underfunded and the legislature needs to address it. However, they argued now is not the time. Why? In simple terms, there's two reasons. One, there are other priorities that need to be addressed before special education, and two, a performance audit needed to be conducted to, quote, determine how well districts are spending their money, unquote. Oh, and then they added, quote, when we get that report, we will have the justification to move forward to do a better job of funding special education, end quote. Education advocates were dumbfounded that House Democrats would admit there is a special education crisis, but argue against increased funding because there are other priorities and they need to review an audit before additional funds are provided. Never mind that special education is a part of the state's constitutional paramount duty, and never mind ongoing underfunding of special education will continue to put tremendous pressure on school district budgets at a time when many districts are struggling financially. Again, the debate was disheartening, but it was also an embarrassing display put on by our legislature. Ultimately, the striking amendment was defeated, with two Democrats joining all of the Republicans. With the striking amendment out of the way, the underlying bill came forward and was adopted 94-2, with Republicans saying they wanted to do better, but they would reluctantly support this final bill. For more details on the debate and a link to the TVW recording, see last week's This Week in Olympia newsletter. Knowing our members are extremely busy, we seldom encourage you to watch floor or committee debates, but this conversation laid bare the intentions of the House Democrats, and listening to their comments, without commentary from us or anyone else, their arguments are enlightening, and provides a bit of a preview of what to expect when we see House budget proposals. On Friday, the debate on Senate Bill 5311 in the Senate was like night and day. First, the debate was short, with only two speeches, one from Senator Lisa Wellman, sponsor of the bill and also chair of the Senate Early Learning K-12 Education Committee, and Senator John Braun, the Senate Minority Leader. Before we get into the short debate, it's important to know that there are two amendments adopted. One was a technical clarification, and the second one dealt with the safety net. The second amendment actually removed the safety net regionalization link that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, and replaced it with a change to the 2.3 APPE threshold. As adopted, the threshold would be 2.0 for small districts with less than 1,000 students and 2.2 for districts with more than 1,000 students. Additionally, the required special education advocates remain. However, the responsibility was moved from the 9 ESDs to the Governor's Office of Education Ombuds. It also removed the state auditor from the OSPI requirement to develop an allocation and cost accounting methodology. This is the Senate's so-called accountability language. As noted, the debate was short, but the key message was from Senator Wellman, who noted that, quote, "We are stepping up and prioritizing special education. We have been talking about this a long time." And then she added, "Let's make 2023 the year," end quote. The final bill was adopted 48-0. The final Senate-adopted bill also would provide $352 million in the 2023-25 biennium and $419 million in 2025-27 for a four-year total of $771 million. This wouldn't achieve that full funding we've been seeking, but would be a substantial first step to achieving that goal. Immediately following the adoption of Senate Bill 5311, the Senate brought forward Senate Bill 5174, the Pupil Transportation Bill. This bill arrived on the floor as it was adopted by the Senate Ways and Means Committee. Remember, they slashed the bill, leaving only a special passenger safety net program and a required analysis by OSPI that was due June 1, 2026. A technical amendment was adopted to the bill, and additionally an amendment to reinsert the language regarding the pupil transportation contractors and required employee benefits was also introduced. The second amendment was ultimately withdrawn, but the conversation was interesting. Introduced by Senator Bob Hasegawa, he expressed his belief that benefits for contractor employees was important and funding needed to be provided to do this. He noted, however, that the fiscal impact to do so would potentially be substantial, and withdrew the amendment with a comment about his understanding that the priority is special education. This was another one of those budget signals. We've been hearing for a while now that the Senate was trying to limit K-12 education expenditures and intends to drive much of the revenue necessary to support these other proposals to special education. The scuttling of this costly transportation amendment is some evidence that this may be a true strategy. There's also potential evidence if you look at the number of K-12 Senate bills that died in the Senate Ways and Means Committee. Just to name two examples, Senate Bill 5339, which was universal meals, was considered a priority, but it died in committee. Similarly, Senate Bill 5668, which was being supported by a number of small school districts, which would have allowed them to more easily access skill centers, seemed primed to move, but it died in the Ways and Means Committee without any real explanation. Of course, all of this budget talk is speculation, although it's probably better categorized as an educated guess. Regardless, we'll see what the truth is soon. To close the conversation on pupil transportation, the House version, House Bill 1248, has not yet passed the House, and in fact, it hasn't yet been moved on to the House floor calendar. It's unclear if the House intends on moving this bill or not. So you can see the lay of the land regarding our major priorities and you can see the probable budget dispute between the House and Senate when negotiations begin. There continue to be many, many other education-related bills on the table, but we'll keep the focus on special education and pupil transportation today. For more details on these issues, and also information on bills that actually made it past the cutoff on Wednesday, see this next Friday's TWEO newsletter. Remember, there is still time to have an impact, and we encourage you to continue to engage on these priorities and any other bills or issues that you may be interested in or concerned about. Thank you for listening.